Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Minister, Trotter Apostolic Church Training Congregation, down south of 12 Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 25, 2016, it is 8/22/2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Without song, yours to keep me from all wrong. No, this service but is long. Let our walk, let me walk close to thee. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Yahweh cares. He'll with me my burden share. None but thee, dear Yahweh, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er, come for me will be Lord, guide me gently, set me on, to Thy King and soar to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee, when the Yahshua is my plea. Walking close to thee, let it be, dear God, let it be. Everlasting Kingdom, Part 3, 1998 track, Jubilee track by Vertus W. Johnson, entitled The Kingdom, Daniel 2, 34 and 35 and 44. That's where we left off from our study yesterday. We're going to go ahead and read that again for our prayer thought. In Daniel 2, we're going to read 34 and 35 and 44 and 45. It says that thou sawest tell that a stone was cut out without hands to smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Okay, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Summer threshing floors, it means more than one floor. That means it's harvest. This is a harvesting all over the world. Well, actually, the summer, when it says summer threshing floor, it's talking about wheat harvest. It's not talking about the harvest of the grapes in the fall. So this is talking about the harvesting of the house of Israel, and starting with 144,000. The summer threshing floor is the wheat harvest. Wheat is the grain that represents the 144,000, and the first fruits harvest. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Okay. So, it says, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain filled the whole earth. So this image represents the last false prophet. He's a representative of this image that's in the house of Israel that brings Israel to a close in our day. And that would be the Adventist church, and she came to a close with her three angels' messages. That's all she had bequeathed unto her. And Brother Johnson was the last prophet to bring the three angels' messages and the Adventists to a close, fulfilling Ellen G. White's prophecy on that. And this little stone is the house of David. And as I've said before, the house of David, this little stone, as I've said before, stone represents a person. Stone represents a person. And, it doesn't, as I understand it, does not represent a kingdom. But the person that the stone represents the leader of the kingdom of heaven. You get the point? That smote the image became a great mountain. That image was the power of the Assyrian yoke of the Catholic, of the Adventist Church that had the Assyrian yoke around her people. And as soon as Yahshua found a people that would turn from idolatry, then he took the Assyrian yoke off of their neck. And that was the house of David that he took the Assyrian yoke off of. And he left it on the Seventh-day Adventist shoulders, that Assyrian yoke. And Brother Johnson was the one that left it there for him, because he didn't renounce and repent of his idolatry, as he was told to do. So he retained the Assyrian yoke for the Adventist people, and that's what brought them to their close. Okay, so this little stone now, put off all this idolatry, will grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth, and that's this house of David here. And the summer threshing floor. You know, I've been mystified by that over the years. I remember that word summer. A summer threshing floor. Because you don't have a fall threshing floor. You don't have wheat brought into the floor to thresh. You have the grape gatherers that goes out and gathers the grapes off the vine. There's no threshing floor there. When you harvest the Gentiles, they're represented by the grapes, and they're harvested in the fall. Your second fruits are harvested in the fall. So, we're dealing with the harvest of the summer threshing floor here. We haven't dealt with that before, as we are doing now. Now let's fast forward to verse 43. And Daniel still talking to Nebuchadnezzar here. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, iron represents Rome, the Catholic Church. Miry clay means the house of Israel. Okay, clay is a symbol that's used for Israel. I believe it's in Jeremiah 18:6. If you can find confirmation, and there's another verse you can find confirmation on that. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They, what does it mean? This iron mixed with clay shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So the iron represents Catholicism, the clay represents the house of Israel, and the only place you can find in prophecy where those two are mingled together is in the Adventist Church. When the Catholics come in and took over the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists and become the ruler of the Adventist Church in 1888 to 1890, when that was disclosed to view, they've been the rulers ever since. And the clay, so they mingle the iron with the clay. The Catholics and the Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbath keepers, all mingle together. So it says they is a pronoun meaning the iron and the clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So the Adventists went out and they mingled themselves with the seed of men. All over the world, all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, they mingled with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another. But the iron and the clay is not going to cleave one to another, even though they mingle themselves with the seed of men. Even as iron is not mixed with clay. Okay, so when you go out to put some clay pottery together, you don't go melt you a bunch of iron and put with it. Besides, you couldn't do that. The iron would be too hot to deal with your hands. Clay is something that you can mix up and readily take into your hands and mold it the way you want to, because it's neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. You get that? That's the reason why Yahweh equated Laodicea being lukewarm, because she represented this clay. that is neither hot nor cold when you take it to make a vessel out of it. The only way you can make a clay vessel to be lasting is that you have to make it while it's lukewarm, and you mold it like you want, and then you put it out to dry, or you put in a hot clean, something that gets over 200 degrees hot, and it bakes it into a solid mass that will last forever. All right? Now it says there in verse 44 of Daniel 2, "And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up their kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and their kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And what is that telling us? "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king, which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." So it says right here, in verse 42, let's back up and start with verse 40. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just back up and read from verse 36 on. See, 35 says that, talking about the little stone that smote the image on this, smote the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It says, "This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings." Now, Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar he's a king of kings. What does he mean by that? Babylon is ruling over all other nations that has kings. And Cyrus, that overthrew Babylon, proved that. Because he went and overthrew all of those nations that had kings in them that Nebuchadnezzar had ruled over. Okay? So it says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory." Alright? Now that kingdom is the same thing, is the same type of kingdom that he gave to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1844. He gave the Adventist Church a kingdom. Not the everlasting kingdom of heaven, but a kingdom, like he gave to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. And he says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Who was the first king of kings? Adam. But he was the only king when he was appointed over this earth in the beginning. Now Adam was made ruler over the beast of the field, the fowls of the heaven. "Hath he given thy hand and made thee ruler over all, them all? Thou art this head of gold." Adam was made ruler over all of the earth. And the reason why Nebuchadnezzar was made king of kings, because he was made ruler over all of the animals on the earth, like Adam was. But Cyrus was also a king of kings that made ruler over all the earth. Daniel Trump is antitypical Cyrus today. Apparently Yahweh is going to make him ruler over all the earth temporarily. Okay, have to have a visible person that has been running among the wicked for many, 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 many years, building a legacy for himself in the eyes of the people, and not only the people but of the United States, but of the whole world. Now we understand why he has gone into so many different countries and built motels and golf courses and raised up all kinds of institutions here in America and abroad. He's well known by all the nations. So he's well known for his honesty, though. He's well known for his honesty, and he's also well known that whatever he says, he will do. If he won't say something unless he knows that he can and will do it. He won't ever say a thing unless he knows that he will and can do it. And he puts all of his energy into fulfilling that. So the nations and all the people of the United States knows this about him. That's the reason they're placing their trust in him now. So he will be, have an influence to rule over all nations. That's the way it was in the time. And after Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, now after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And what was that kingdom? That was the Medes, Cyrus and Darius. I was just talking about them. And another third kingdom of brass shall, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Okay. So now a third kingdom is going to rise after Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, after Cyrus and Darius. Right now we have Cyrus and Darius on the scene in the antitypical person of Donald Trump and his vice president, Mike Pence. They fit that description totally. Okay. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, or as much as iron breaketh in pieces. Now, notice it says the fourth kingdom that succeeds this third kingdom is going to be strong as iron. It didn't say it's going to be represented by the iron. It says it's going to be strong as iron. So this fourth kingdom is not pagan Rome. This is not ecclesiastical Rome. This is not the Catholic Church. This fourth kingdom is the everlasting kingdom of David. That's coming up. It's this little stone that was hewn out of the mountain without hands. That's this fourth kingdom that arises here in the last days. Okay. So this lends power and force to the argument that this everlasting kingdom of heaven that's going to be set up here in these last days is going to rule over all. And he says that this kingdom is as strong as iron, and that he's going to, but it's not represented by the metal iron, this kingdom of David. What is it represented by? The metal of gold. We're going back to this here gold again, and it's going to have the gold standard. Okay? For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of the potter's clay, now talking about the very end of, the, of this image, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. So that kingdom was Adventist Church, they had Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And typical kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, because they allowed themselves to be infiltrated, and now double leadership that the Adventist Church is represented by the great paradox of the double span of horses that are leading that chariot. Okay, so that one span of horses, the grizzle horses, represents the Catholic Rome influence and in the church from 1844 on. Okay. So it says, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Okay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So the Adventist Church, representing this a kingdom that was given to her, antitypical Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and the Adventists always had this thing about, we're not Babylon, we're not Babylon. Anybody comes along saying that we're Babylon, don't believe them. They're false. They're false prophets. Well, no, Adventists are very closely associated with Babylon. Connected up to her, matter of fact. Alright? Shall be partly strong and partly broken, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the mire of clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, shall the, talking about those 10 toes of that feet, representing the 10 kings, meaning universal, in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom. Now here is another a kingdom. And this is the kingdom of David. It's the everlasting kingdom of heaven set up here on earth in the name of David, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people. Okay, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and they shall stand forever. So the Adventist Church, they had a kingdom, antitypical Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And guess what Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was represented? A head of gold. They was represented by the head of gold. Well, that's what the Adventist Church is represented by. We're called, I'll name it the Golden Kingdom. It was a kingdom of Golden Kingdom. But guess what? The Adventists had to repeat the type, and so they lost their kingdom. Who did they lose it to? They lost it again to the Medes and the Persians. And who represented the Medes and the Persians, more or less? They're talking about the one that succeeded Ellen G. White as V.P. Hollis, the Shepherd Rod. They lost it to the Shepherd Rod. And it says another kingdom inferior unto thee is going to take over from the Shepherd Rod. And that was Brother Johnson's kingdom. Okay. So Brother Johnson's kingdom was stronger than V.P. Hollis' kingdom, and representing antitypical Medes and the Persians in his day. And so Brother Johnson represented antitypical Alexander's kingdom. And lo and behold, Brother Johnson, and Alexander was 32 years old when he came to his end, and his kingdom self-destructed by his debauchery and idolatry, and celebrating all the victories he had up to that point. And so likewise, Brother Johnson's kingdom only lasted 32 years, from 1970 to 2002. As the antitypical Alexander's kingdom. And Brother Johnson's kingdom only lasted 32 years. And what happened to him? He self-destructed spiritually. And Yahshua had to come and take the reins in his own hands and get rid of him. So the year 2003, was the destruction of antitypical Alexander's kingdom, Brother W. Johnson. All this stuff is unfolding even as we speak. This is all new to me. But the Holy Spirit is showing me the reality of all these things. Okay. So, now we have this A kingdom, which is represented by this little stone, here now the mountain is out of hand, strikes the image on the feet, goes to the mountain, kills the whole earth. Now this is A kingdom, which is a kingdom of heaven here on earth. It is not the kingdom that is in heaven itself. It is a replica of the kingdom in heaven. It is a kingdom that represents the kingdom of heaven in earth. You get the point? So in essence, it is the kingdom of heaven personified by this here sitting up of this David's kingdom, because Yahshua comes and sits upon the throne of David in this kingdom and takes his place. And so that makes it, that solidifies it and makes it permanent. The kingdom of heaven joins its proxy here on earth, the kingdom of David, and they become one together. And it says so right there in Hebrews chapter 12. When you go read Hebrews chapter 12, it's very plainly covered, bears that out if you can read between the lines a little bit. And it says in verse 22 of Hebrews 12, but ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and the Elohim, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and unto Yahshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. All right? So what are we looking at here? We're looking at this kingdom of David, joining the kingdom of heaven, the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and become one and the same. Steady communication now between earth and heaven, represented by Jacob's ladder that he saw in a dream, that the ladder is on the earth and reaching up into heaven, angels ascending and descending on it. Constant communication between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven here on earth with the name Spiritual Israel, which is the name of Antipodal David's kingdom, and the one in heaven. We become part of the church of the firstborn when this church, this kingdom of heaven is purified, the kingdom of heaven here on earth is purified, it becomes a member of the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven. All right, let's continue with our thought here. Let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 2, let's read 45 again, and then let's go clear to the end of the chapter. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Now, Nebuchadnezzar saw to the end of his dream. Daniel gave him the interpretation to the end of his dream. Nebuchadnezzar's end of his dream reached clear up to 2002 in Kermit, Texas. That's the end of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the Antipode. Now, why do I say that? As I told you now, this head of gold represents the kingdom of the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844. Antipodal Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Sit up here in the Antipode. Alright. Now, the shepherd rod was an extension of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. The Medes and the Persians and the type were the extension of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom of Babylon. Because Nebuchadnezzar's king Cyrus and Darius that represented the Medes and the Persians that succeeded Babylon, overthrew Babylon, and took over the kingdoms that Babylon was over. Cyrus went through all the world conquering all of those kingdoms that Babylon reigned over. That's the reason why Babylon headquartered themselves in the palace that night with Belshazzar, because they knew Darius and Cyrus and Darius were on their way. So they saw that Cyrus and Darius was overthrowing those kingdoms that the Babylon ruled over. And now they're on their way to overthrow Babylon, the head of these kingdoms. And they said, oh no, you don't, you can't do that. We're going to lock ourselves in. We're going to close these two lead gates where the water runs underneath the gates. And there's no way that they can get into it. So Belshazzar was celebrating the thought of his lords that night when King Cyrus came in and diverted the water out of the river and dried up the riverbed and marched in, and Yahweh come and opened with his angels, opened the two lead gates, and his army marched in dry shod and took over Babylon and destroyed Belshazzar and his thousand lords. Okay, So now, we have the antipodal display of these four kingdoms again. Adventist Church represented by Babylon, this head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. The ship of Ra succeeded them, representing the Medes and the Persians. Brother John succeeded the shepherd rod representing Alexander's kingdom. Alexander's kingdom came to an end at the end of 32 years of age for him. Brother Johnson's kingdom came to an end at the end of 32 years of age for his kingdom, Gilead Center, 1970-2002. In the 33rd year he came to his end. Spent that 33rd year coming to his end. Alright, now it says the dream is certain. So what happened at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Brother W. Johnson came to his end in our day. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your Elohim is an Elohim of gods and a Lord of kings. He's a Yahweh of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Okay. So Nebuchadnezzar, his pledge didn't last very long. Because as we read now, starting with Nebuchadnezzar chapter 3, of Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He sat up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Where was the Adventist Church sit up at? In the United States, 1844, in the province of Babylon. What? Spiritual Babylon today, away from the home country of Israel. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. The king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, when did the Seventh-day Adventists duplicate this in our day? When they let the Jesuits come in and set up the headquarters for the kingdom of the Seventh-day Adventists and set up a general conference. So when did they make an image to the beast? James White, Ellen G. White's husband, that says we need to form a general conference. And so there is that second span of horses represented by the grizzled horses there in Zechariah chapter 6 prophecy, where the double span of horses leading that chariot. Now here is that double span of horses, those grizzled horses representing that enemy that had infiltrated the Adventist church. So James White says, we got to have a general conference, and I'd like to be the first president of it, and so forth. And he tried to be, but he became, I think, the second president elected to the General Conference, as it was set up in 1863. So, that double span of horses, says, we're going to make an image to this beast. And so they did. So Ellen G. White wouldn't have allowed it. But as her husband, being the head of the house, he took over his authority. And he said, we're going to do this. Okay. So it says, then and Harold cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nation, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, saxophone, palsy, dual summer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Okay, so when was this image then completed? When was this set up? It was completed in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, Brother Stevie Johnson. He completed that image. Because he says, I am the last prophet, I am the last ruler of Israel, and I am the one that has been designated, and I have got this here tract in front of me that he wrote in 1998, and this is what started this series called The Kingdom. I've got this tract now. As soon as I get through doing what I'm doing here with Daniel, I'm going to get into this tract. I thought I was going to get into it today, but it looks like I may not. Anyway, it shows that Brother Johnson is telling the whole world is going to bow down to his decree that he is the head of this everlasting kingdom of heaven. Okay? But he ended up coming to his end and nothing doing. Because a little stone hewn out of the mountain struck that image on the feet and broke and subdued it. And as I said before, that image was fully set up there in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, right there in the pulpit of the Gilead Center. Alright. It says in Daniel 3, verse 6, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I refused to bow down to it. And so Brother Johnson kicked me out of the church and issued me a letter saying that I am cast into everlasting darkness. I'm cast out into everlasting darkness. My probation is closed for me. And that all I've got to look forward now to is a burning fiery furnace. Okay? Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of cornet, through the harp, saxophone, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. By virtue of the Seventh-day Adventist Church rejecting every prophet, rejecting every message that came to them from 1844, clear on down to 2002, represents this Nebuchadnezzar's image, that the Adventist Church all eventually end up bowing down to that image. Because the only ones that escaped from that burning fiery furnace was three of us. Myself, my wife, and Alan DeLong. We were the three that escaped that burning fiery furnace, 2002, when it came to its end. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, saxophone, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So Brother Johnson, he gave us three an ultimatum. He gave me and my wife and Alan DeLong an ultimatum. Give up this false direction that you're going, this what you're doing, and come back and repent and come in line with us so that you can escape eternal doom. Okay. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Now the king is calling these three men by their Babylonian names, their Chaldean names that Nebuchadnezzar had given them. So he wanted them to get used to the Chaldean words and not the ones that was given to them, the Hebrew names. The Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But old King Nebuchadnezzar, he took care of that. Whenever he took them into captivity, he gave them a new name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, saxophone, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that Elohim that shall deliver you out of my hand? Now, isn't this amazing? When I took that message to Brother Johnson, I gave it to him in July 14, 2002. They asked me what was my opinion that I thought was causing them to lose all their blessings. And so when I got the message from heaven, I said, I've got a message from heaven. That tells me exactly why. Well, we want to hear it. They said they wanted to hear it. So I told them why. I said, repent and receive this message. Restore the daily. And do thus and thus. Call your son and all of the church members. And call a crisis and tell them, we got a church crisis. Come up and meet it today. Now, he refused to do that. He turned it around upon my own head, said that I was lying when I got the message. So he turned around on my own head and he says that I was to repent. And then I was to do thus and thus and thus and stop leading this insurrection and trying to break up the church. He said, I was trying to draw people after me to follow me and to overthrow him. He had been told that by his wife for years and years that I was there for one reason. That was to take his place and to overthrow him. Okay. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. So in essence, Brother Johnson was playing also the role of Nebuchadnezzar for the Seventh-day Adventist Church within the antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonian, in other words, the iron mixed with the clay. Ellen G. White told him that you're the spiritual Israel of today. But because they were mixed partly with the iron, Rome, they were the spiritual Israel. They were the clay part of this image. But they were mixed with that image. All right. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And lo and behold, as soon as I stood my ground, Yahweh delivered me and my wife and Alan DeLong out of that burning fiery furnace down at Kermit, Texas. He delivered us out of there. And he brought us into a new land, the land that he had chosen, called Antipical Hills of Judea. Okay, Mount Zion is the 12th hour. Okay, so the Mount Zion is the 11th hour, created the image to the beast and commanded that the last rebellious ones bow down to it. Okay. Oh, folks, truth is stranger than fiction. I'm going to tell you what, this is awesome as this unfolding. All right, so it says in verse 18 of Daniel 3, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So now, what kind of an image did Brother Johnson portray down at Kermit? An image of Baal. He had idolatrous worship that they practiced. I mean, Gilead Center is full of idolatry worship. I mean, they worship the birthdays. They worship the holidays that man had set up. Thanksgiving and 4th of July. They celebrated those certain holidays that are set up by our government. And then they would go to Babylonian entertainment and so forth. I know because in my beginnings with them, I did the same thing with them because I didn't know anything was wrong with it. I was a straight out of the Adventist church that did those things. I didn't see anything wrong with doing that, celebrating my birthday. But Yahweh showed me on down the line where that was all idolatry worship. I do know that Ellen G. White spoke against the wedding ring and the jewelry and the brooches and the clipping of the eyebrows. The Bible did that also. And Brother Johnson wasn't against any of that either. I noticed he wasn't against that. And he had people coming into his church dressing like harlots, dressed in short shorts, and never said anything against it. And so I know that that Gilead Center had completely fallen away, completely into idolatry. All right. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. All right. When these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? He answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the son of Yahweh. So apparently the king Nebuchadnezzar had been introduced to Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. He knew him personally. He knew him personally. Brother Johnson knew Yahshua personally because he had his message, the Isaac Branch message. Brother Johnson knew him personally. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High Elohim, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was there an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Well, Brother Johnson's word was changed. Whenever I stood up with Matthew 14 and defied that woman that was dividing our church and causing nothing but trouble in our church, and I challenged her with Matthew 18 and brought the church to an end. And Brother Johnson defended her, and I stood up against Brother Johnson with the word. Okay? And so it says, and so by standing up, I changed Brother Johnson's words of condemnation against me that day, and yielded their bodies, and that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other Elohim that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So now, it just so happens that Brother Johnson didn't fulfill all of that of King Nebuchadnezzar, promoting the three servants. But Yahshua come along and took Nebuchadnezzar's place, and he promoted his three servants, and he overthrew the bad king and his decree. Okay. Well, it just looks like that we got to about down to the last 7 or 8 minutes of our sermon left. And so, what are we learning here? We're learning an awful lot about these four kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar saw in vision in chapter 1. It was in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Okay. So now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar sometime approached unto the kingdom of Jerusalem and besieged it. So, I do know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church now represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And we have the fourth kingdom, which is and the antitype is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of David, that overthrows all of these kingdoms before it. In other words, the kingdom of David is the remnant that comes out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when you start the harvest in the 12th prophetic hour. So anyway, Brother Johnson started his kingdom tract in 1998 called the Jubilee Tract, and he has these four mountains on the front of it that he saw in vision himself, and it's got three on the bottom, and it's got one big goat head looking mountain on the up in the air. Looks like being up in the air, it would be up in heaven. It originates from heaven, and this little stone hewn out of the mountain out of hands is coming out of this here mountain that's above these three, except suspended in the air. Now we know this little stone represents David, and represents the everlasting kingdom of heaven that originated in heaven. So that's where this little stone originated. It originated in the mind of Yahweh and his son in heaven, and it represents the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Okay, it says, calling the very elect, the chosen ones of Israel. And I'm going to go ahead and read the introduction that Brother Johnson did to his tract here in 1998. He says, if you are truly a Davidian, one who believes that V.T. Hardoff was a true prophet, if you believe that the shepherd's rod was a message of inspiration, then you will take heed to the special message that Brother Hardoff left for the Davidians, and that is, and I quote, a Davidian is one who follows on into the newly revealed truth. Thus, every Davidian is obligated to meet this command. Since the instrument that you hold in your hands is packed with the present truth from the shepherd's rod message, I ask that you approach it with an open mind, laying aside all blindness, prejudices, preconceived ideas, opinions, and theories, and let inspiration speak to you. This is not something to take lightly, for rejection of the truth is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. So move ahead and caution that you be not found guilty as you study and weigh the facts contained in this article, and hopefully accept the truth it teaches. Try to ever remember that one cannot keep their shingle out unless it is qualified continually, that the shingle may be justified. So Brother Johnson had his shingle out. He says, I represent the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, and I have the restored sanctuary system of the creation calendar to prove it, that I am in charge of this everlasting kingdom. So now he's telling all Davidians, he says, now pay attention, because when you hang your shingle out, make sure that shingle will stand out there forever. that the shingle may be justified by present truth unfolding from the rod, he says here. Boy, he'd been good if he hadn't got sidetracked and went down a rabbit's trail to lead to who knows where. The name Davidian, deriving from the name of the kingdom of ancient Israel, accrues to this association by reason of its following aspects. First, it is dedicated to the work of announcing and bringing forth the restoration as predicted in Hosea 1:11 and 3:5 of David's kingdom and the Anatot. There it have it. Brother Johnson introduced David's kingdom and the Anatot in 1998 with his track called The Jubilee, The Kingdom. And so he's asking for this is the track was gotten ready for the atonement of September the 30th of 1998. He had it ready for the atonement, the seventh month of the 10th day of the seventh month. He had it ready for the atonement. And so actually we're getting close to the end of our study this hour. So anyway, he's talking about the name Davidian deriving from the name of the king of ancient Israel, and that would be David. And he's saying, now you got to believe in everything that I'm going to tell you now, because it comes right out of the rod message. And so we're going to leave it at that. And so we are hoping we start our next sermon, unless Yahweh gives me something else. At the time that I start my next sermon, I'm going to get into this kingdom track and of Brother W. Johnson for real. This brings the third of our students hour. Contact us at the 11th hour calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. From Martian Design. Come we that love the Yah and let her joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. With marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Yah. Let those refuse to sing who never knew a Yah, the children of the heavenly King. Children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Yah. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweet. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, I'll walk the golden streets, I'll walk the golden streets. I'm marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Yah. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fair her was on high, to fair her was on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion.